Welcome into the program today, folks, and we're going to continue in a series of lessons that we started quite a few weeks ago, looking at four main points of doctrine upon which our entire doctrinal statement is based upon. Basically, it boils down to four main points. The first, of course, is a gospel that you can believe, and we've been looking at that for the past few weeks. A life that you can live, a Bible study that you can understand, and a Bible that you can trust. And to just kind of clarify and finish up some things from the last time, just to add a little bit of clarity to the gospel that we are to teach and to believe today, Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So, we understand that it's not by anything that we can do, it's by our faith on him that justifieth the ungodly. And we looked at the past few weeks how it's Christ's faith in his dying for our sins, being buried, and being resurrected according to the scriptures, which is actually what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4 deals with. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And it's our faith in that is what saves us today. It has nothing to do with any of the works that we do. And we looked at a couple passages that now that we're saved, we are able to do good works. And it's by Christ's faith that we're able to do this. So that kind of boils down everything that we were talking about the last few weeks that we've gone over these different points of doctrine. But there's a gospel that you can believe. And it's the gospel, the dispensation of the grace of God, that Jesus Christ was crucified for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. And it's by placing your faith in that and that alone that you're to be saved by. It's something completely different than it was in time past. And that's the first time I've ever used that phrasing, time past. But we'll probably get into that sometime. Ephesians chapter 2 gives us a real clear description of how we are to divide the Bible. As you all know, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And we've kind of looked at this, rightly dividing the word of truth. It don't say rightly divide truth from error. It's rightly dividing the word of truth. And God's word is the truth that that verse is speaking of. So we need to come to a knowledge and understanding of how we are to rightly divide. What we want to start off with today is a life that you can live. And we're going to look at three main points, and I don't know how far we'll get into this today, but we might be able to just do one point per 30-minute program, but we're going to look at three main points. Our relationship to the law and guilt. The second thing is our relation to the flesh and to the world. And the third thing is our relationship to Christ, and look at how we are to truly live. So let's get into it. Go ahead and grab your King James Bible and follow along with us. We're going to start off in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to start looking at a few verses here just to kind of get an idea of what's going on. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 19. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." And of course, this first part we're talking about is my life and my relationship to the law, which we're talking about your life and your relationship to the law. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." So that tells me something, that we're not alive to do the things of the law. We are actually dead to the law, that we may live unto God. Go over to Romans chapter 3, verse 28. And I'm just going to warn you now, we're going to go through quite a few verses, but that's how you study, comparing verse with verse. That's the way we're supposed to do it. We're going to run through quite a few verses here, but I want you to make sure that you follow along with us. And if you're not able to follow along with us, make sure you jot these verses down so you can go back and study them on your own time. Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says, therefore, based on what he just got through saying, and in the context you can see what he's talking about, says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now go over to Romans chapter 6 real quick. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for, most of the time you see the word for there, it's the meaning of it is because of what I just said. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. So we no longer have sin having dominion over us because we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. It's a completely different situation now. Flip on over to Galatians chapter 3. Like I said, we're going to go through quite a few verses here. Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to start looking at verse 10. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So he's saying, we're no longer under the law because we're going to be living by faith. No man is justified by in the sight of God by keeping the law. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. If you plan to be under the law, you have to fulfill all of them. Otherwise, as verse 10 says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And how many times have you cooked lunch on Sundays? Which actually, if you study scripture, the Sabbath day is actually to be on a Saturday rather than Sunday, but we've had man come along and ruin quite a few different things. But how many times have you cooked on the Lord's Day? You're not even allowed to start a fire on the Lord's Day if you go back and read Scripture. The law is not contained in the Ten Commandments. There's hundreds of commandments that's in the Old Testament. And if you break one of them, then you're guilty of all of them. So if you plan on holding yourself to the Ten Commandments, there's hundreds of them that you're not fulfilling. And as Christ says, if you keep the law but offend in one point, you're guilty of all of them. And if you offend in 620 of them, then you're also guilty of all of them. So the fact of the matter is if you plan on putting yourself under the law, you better make sure that you keep them all. And that's not possible. And the main thing of it is, no man is justified in the sight of God based upon the working of the law. Stay here in Galatians chapter 3. We'll go to verse 18. Verses 18 through 26. Verse 18 says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. So the inheritance that he's talking about here, the inheritance came by promise. It's not of the law. It says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. So even with Abraham and the Jews, it has nothing to do with keeping the law. Verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? So what's the purpose of it? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, and that's talking about eternal life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And that's another one of those passages we was talking about the last time about the faith of Jesus Christ. This is another one of the passages where it changes the faith in Jesus Christ. But the promise here is the inheritance of eternal life. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise, the inheritance of eternal life, should be by faith of Jesus Christ, that promise might be given to them that believe. Verse 23, but before faith came, and that's talking about justification by faith, because that's what we're dealing with in the context here. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Now the faith was something that was kept secret, that was after everything had taken place, after it was revealed. We were shut up unto the faith. We were shut up away from it. We had no access to it. Verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, what this is talking about here is it's not that we're justified by knowing Scripture or by knowing the law. We're not justified by knowing the law and doing the law and keeping the law. The law is a schoolmaster. It's a teacher to let us know that we are a sinful man so that we know that we need salvation. And as we started off talking about the gospel in which we're to believe, the main thing that we have to know and understand is that it's Christ died for our sins. We have to know that we are a sinful creature. Therefore, we needed the law to be a schoolmaster, a teacher, to bring us unto Christ, to let us know that, hey, you're not so hot. So that we can be justified by faith. That's how it ends in verse 24 there, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after that faith is come, now that we know that you can have justification by faith, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith, and here's the right time, in Christ Jesus. Because it's our faith placed into Jesus Christ, and the main point is it's the faithfulness of Christ of what he done, if you go back to verse 22. That promise was given by the faith of Jesus Christ, so that in verse 26, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we now have justification by faith, and verse 25, we're no longer under that schoolmaster. Why? What was the purpose of the schoolmaster? To teach us that we are a sinful man. Now that we have justification by grace through faith, we no longer need to have the schoolmaster to teach us, because we've already come to the realization that it's by sin that we are to be judged by God. And that sin has been taken care of by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. So it's by faith in Christ. Now I want you to flip over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and we'll start reading in verse 9. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? This kind of goes back to, if you remember, a few weeks ago when we were talking about Galatians chapter 1, where Paul is talking to the people of Galatia in verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, that you've accepted this other gospel that takes you again unto the weak and beggarly things that you desire to be in bondage, over here in chapter 4. So Paul comes along and says, you're freed from this. Why are you trying to go back under it? And that's the purpose of him writing the book of Galatians. He had a group of people that this church that he started, they were being put back under the law. And he comes in and says, why are you doing this? Verse 10, he says, ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So we see here that Paul is worried that he may have given this group of people too much to have to deal with, that he had made bestowed upon them labor in vain, that they can't carry out the purposes and the will that God has for them, that they should preach and teach the dispensation and the grace of God to take people out of the weak and beggarly elements that they are trying to be put back into bondage with. So Paul comes back to the people that he's working here, trying to help them out to get them back out of that system. Because it's not by works of righteousness, it's by the faith of Jesus Christ and our placing our faith into what he has done for us. Galatians chapter 5 verse 4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. And I know a lot of people come along and take this verse and say, well, they've fallen from grace, so they've lost their salvation. That is completely and totally not what he is talking about. Once you are sealed until the day of redemption. And at that point in time, you're in heaven. You cannot lose your salvation. Why? What have we been preaching the past few weeks? What does it boil down to? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for my sins, he was buried, and he rose again so that I could have justification. Guess what? You cannot take that away because he accomplished it. And God put the stamp of approval on it by sealing me with the Holy Spirit. And the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you trust that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, then you're sealed with that same seal of promise until the day of redemption, and then we're going to be in heaven. This verse is not talking about the fact that these people lost their salvation. They were falling away from the dispensation of grace that Paul had given them. They were falling away from the message that they were given. He says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. If you think you're justified by the law, and he's, of course he's talking to saved people here, he said, if you think that you're justified by the faith of the law, I already know that you're saved. If you think you're justified by the faith, justified by the law, then Christ is no effect unto you. And we're going to get into another verse here in a little bit. Here a little bit later in Galatians chapter 2, where it makes a big difference how Christ lives through us now. And if Christ is made of no effect by you trying to live under the law, then you will have fallen from grace. You have fallen away from the message of grace that Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 1. It's not that you've lost your salvation, it's you've fallen away from the message. And that's a big issue that we're dealing with today. A lot of people are falling away from the message because they're going about endless genealogies and some other things that Paul talks about later on. But chapter 5 verse 4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. And don't ever let anyone come along and say that that's you've lost your salvation, if that's not what that passage is talking about at all. So go over to Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 23. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 23. Verse 14 says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." And of course, the context here is, you're complete in Christ. You're buried with Him in baptism, you're risen with Him, you're dead in sins, He's quickened you together with Him, forgiven you of all trespasses. So then He comes on and says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." And of course, He's talking about the law here. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which ye have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, which is Jesus Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrine of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." And this passage here is dealing with quite a bit. But basically, as I said, in the context, you're complete in Christ. So He's going through and telling you the things that we are no longer under. He has taken out the handwriting of ordinances and nailed it to the cross. He takes away the judgment in the Old Testament and Old Scripture, under the Old Testament and all the Old Covenant. You can actually be judged if you eat a certain type of meat, if you drink a certain type of drink, if you do not hold in respect a certain holy day, or if you do not respect a certain moon, the new moons, or Sabbath days. You could actually be taken out and killed if you didn't worship on the right day. And if you partook in anything, like I said earlier, as something as small and minute as lighting a fire, then you could be taken out and killed for that, because that was the way the law worked. All that stuff has been taken out of the way. And as he says, verse 17 says, "which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." In verse 18 he says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." Verse 20 says, "Wherefore, if ye are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" Why would you be held responsible for any of the law, or trying to keep the law? Because you're no longer a part of this world. We are dead with Christ. When Jesus Christ died, and I accepted His death, burial, and resurrection, then at that point in time, when I was placed into Christ, His death became my death. We are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. And he goes as far to say in verse 21, "Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using." As soon as you keep a certain commandment, and this, you can look at this, go back in the Old Testament scripture, Hebrews even talks about this. It says the blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sins of the world. It was something that had to be done constantly. As soon as they slaughtered a bull or a goat for their sin, before they left the temple, they already need something else to take away the sin that they just thought of on their way out. Maybe they looked at another guy's calf and thought maybe it was a little too small. I mean, this is the way the law works. As soon as you accomplish part of the law, It's perished. It's done away with. It's dead. And now you have to go and do it again. Go back and read the Old Testament scriptures. Go over and read Hebrews and find out exactly what that was able to do. Verse 23 says, "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." People go around whipping themselves with whips on their back, cutting themselves, cutting their bodies, doing all this stuff, saying, you know, they're trying to do this to satisfy God. That's a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and the neglecting of the body. They think that the fact that they're doing this stuff gets them closer to God, when in fact it's actually getting them further and further away. Why? Because as soon as they do that, that work that they done is perished. Now they have to go back and do something else to take care of it again. And it's never that's never taken care of. The only way that you can have it taken care of is by trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His death for your sins, His burial, and His resurrection for your justification. So this is what we're dealing with, is our relationship, our life, and our relationship to the law. And we're going to stop here in just a second. One more verse that we want to get. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 25, but we're just going to look at Romans 7, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Basically, what this comes down to is you were under the law. That law brought us to Christ. It allowed us to understand that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. It was our teacher to take us to that point. We were under that law. As soon as we become dead with that law, we are allowed to be married to another. That's what he's talking about. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another." The body of Christ is every person that has ever trusted in the name, in death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for their salvation. That encompasses the entire group of people that trust in the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel that we are to preach and teach today. As soon as you have placed your faith into that truth, you are placed in the body of Christ, and you are sealed unto the day of redemption. This is what we come down to, that the gospel that we have is Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried, and rose again. Our life now and our relationship to the law is over. We are dead to the law and alive unto Christ. The only way to get into this body of Christ is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and our faith in what He has done for us. Our faith in His faithfulness to accomplish what He was set out to do. And as always, we end with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. and where you're at right now, whether you're in your car, whether you're in your house, or whether you're at work, wherever you're listening to this study, right then and there, you don't have to walk an aisle, you don't have to do anything special. Put your faith in Christ's faith that he done and accomplished what he was set at, that he set out to do. It was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and our faithfulness to trust that. If you've placed your faith into the death, burial, and resurrection, into his faith, you're now a member of the body of Christ. And if you made that decision, please contact us. You can get a hold of us at 859-575-2003. Or you can contact us through crossworkministries@hotmail.com. Please let us know that we can get some literature to you. Thank you and good day.